Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hello.
Hi, buddy.
Oh, so hey, this was a long and extensive read.
But guess where we're at now? Yay!
Yep. We're in Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Uh-huh. As you guys are well aware,
Well,
I just had an episode talking about the pre-crisis monetary appearances. You can listen to that when it comes out.
I was going to say, yeah, I have no idea what you're talking
there.
About. I wasn't there. I got left
out. I thought about recording it here so you have an idea, but I mean, it was just 15 minutes of me blathering on. So.
That's fine. So it's just a typical episode for us guys.
Basically. And hopefully these will all be roughly about the same. So we are finally on Crisis. We've been working up to this for kind of since the beginning of the show.
Yeah, literally, honestly. Actually, the second set of...
The second arc we did was Flash.
Was Flash, which is what you wanted to lead up to this.
Yep. And then unknowingly...
Swamp Thing.
Well, Swamp Thing had
which I'm kind of disappointed. I mean, spoiler alert, guys. Swamp Thing's not in this.
He is.
Not really, though.
I mean...
He's mentioned.
He shows up a couple times. But that's... that is going to be the big thing with Crisis. They have... Their main characters, Monitor, Harbinger, Pariah, the Supermans,
Alex Luthor.
There's the main players that are important to the story. The other heroes are there, yes, and they will help out, but a lot of them fall away.
My thing about this, though, is the whole thing with Constantine leading up to, with Swamp Thing, you need to learn how to use your powers. I thought he was going to have a bigger part to play in.
So that is something else.
We'll cover that later, folks.
We will get to that. when we do cover the next couple volumes of Swamp Thing, we will touch on the Crisis crossovers with that. There's another story I want to do after this directly that we may work into during our time off. We'll see.
Okay.
Whatever happened to the Man of Tomorrow, which is a direct sequel to this.
Okay. Another question, because there are a couple of spots in here I actually forgot to write them down, but where they had find out what happened to this person in this episode or this issue.
So
pisses me off.
I was wondering about that because I've got they're both my copies.
Deluxe, son.
This is the deluxe edition, and I remember distinctively that being in the book because that was the issue I read, the one you got, the other copy. It's not in here.
Really?
I knew about some of them, we'll get into it in a bit, but when Guy Gardner comes back as Green Lantern, and it's like, all right, his story continues in Green Lantern 170, whatever. So I was kind of looking for that in here, but I was like, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember that. Let's just go ahead and jump into it.
That's a great idea.
So we are reading the Maxi series, Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Is it really called a maxi series?
Yeah, when it's 12 issues, it's a maxi series.
So as opposed to a mini series?
Mini series is six or less.
What's a series?
Whatever. Flash. Just a regular series. Jerk. It's issues 1 through 12. They were published by DC Comics in 1985 through 1986. The writer is Marv Wolfman, and George Perez did help out in the later issues. Helped. Helped the storytelling process. George Perez did do the pencils as well. Inks were done by Dick Giordano. Giordano.
Wait, hold on a second.
It's Giordano.
Giordano?
Yep. Mike Carlo.
DiCarlo.
DiCarlo, thank you. Jerry Ordway and Carl Kessel. Colors were done by Anthony Tollin. Tom Zuko, sounds about right, and Carl Gafford, and leathers were done by John Costanza. What else you got on that one?
Original cover art by George. Original covers by George Perez.
Yep.
All right. So first page I've got, which doesn't look like you have.
Oh, wow.
It's just a picture of Pariah, but we don't know who that is yet.
Well, and that's single issue form. You won't have had that.
Okay.
I've got the single issues as well.
Gotcha. But anyways, it starts off, and basically it's like in the beginning, you know, it starts with the beginning of the multiverse.
Yep. It does state, though, that it was not supposed to be a multiverse. It was supposed to be one.
It was supposed to be one universe, yep. But through some...
machinations, you may say.
It was made into multiple copies of itself, differentiating slightly. And from there, we go into... there's this white emptiness, basically. This is about the cheapest cop-out of drawing I've ever seen.
Oh.
Because basically...
I think they name it...
Antimatter.
Yeah, the antimatter here quickly. This is... I think this first one was Earth 3, right?
Correct.
Or...
No, this first one here was not, and it doesn't actually say...
We don't know what Earth this is, but this Earth is being destroyed, taken over by the antimatter.
Which is basically just this white nothingness. It's the Neverending Story.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Except in the opposite. This isn't dark, this is light nothingness.
But the character of Pariah is there, and he's basically saying, you know, this is my curse.
When I first saw this right here, I thought it was supposed to be the Spectre.
Oh, okay. Because he's in the green shroud.
The green cowl, yep. Or not cowl, but cape and hood.
Yep.
And I was like, I don't know why.
Spectre's there.
The only reason I don't know the Spectre at all is because I've seen him in something. I don't remember what it was.
Deck building game?
It could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably where it was.
Oh, that's Swamp Thing.
Ha! Yes!
He showed up in Swamp Thing.
There we go.
For that one annual.
Yep.
I mean, he shows up later on, too.
But anyways, that was the only time I'd ever seen him. I'm like, what the hell is the Spectre doing here, like, just watching this planet die? And then I realized...
Sorry.
Huh?
I hit the table.
Oh.
It's Pariah, and we find out that he...
has been watching all the universes
he's
die.
Cursed to watch every Earth die, because his Earth died. Mm-hmm. And he's actually transported every time to when an Earth dies.
He is transported to the most dangerous, like, places, I guess.
The most dangerous...
situations.
Yeah, whatever. That's, like, being destroyed.
Yeah.
Situation makes smarter words.
But, okay, the way that they have it originally put in the book for right here, he gets transported to the Earth hours before it's destroyed.
See, that's what I find funny, because it says hours, sure, but...
It only takes moments.
Yeah. Well, and then there's sometimes later on where it takes...
hours, days, whatever.
Well, there are signs, like the signs of the red sky.
Signs everywhere. Anyways,
but yeah, he transports over to Earth 3 now.
Okay,
where we have
the Power Ring, which is the shittiest name.
It's the Crime Syndicate, which is basically the Justice League,
but bad guys.
Villains. Yeah,
we have Ultraman, who is Superman without his underwear. We have
Power Ring, which is
the Green Lantern with a goofy ass looking ring.
We got Owlman, which is basically Batman, but with an owl.
Oh, is that who that was supposed to be? I thought that was actually supposed to be like...
No, yeah, that's Owlman.
Okay.
We have Johnny Quick, which I'm pretty sure Johnny Quick was
still
not...
Johnny Quick?
Well, I didn't think Johnny Quick, not that Johnny Quick, was... I saw that look. Was not... Maybe they changed it later on. I don't remember. I didn't think he was part of the Crime Syndicate.
I know that he is in... Speaking of... I know that he is in the DC deck building game, which
yes.
is... I was finally glad to find out where all these, you know, reject superhero villains came from.
Yeah, it's fine. Maybe I'm just misremembering. I don't know. We also have Superwoman, which is the Lois Lane of this Earth. No. Yes. No.
So this isn't Wonder Woman then?
No, it's not.
See, I thought that was...
Because Lois Lane's married Luthor.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember.
This is Wonder Woman, isn't it? Like,
it's supposed to be the Wonder Woman.
Because I say, because like that's the equivalent in the DC deck building game that I thought there was. But Luthor is the good guy in this.
Correct.
And is he the only hero in this?
Yes. He's the only hero of that Earth.
Okay.
He obviously cannot save anybody.
Yeah, this is really great right here. He's trying to save Superwoman. And he's like, bitch, look behind you. And she's like, fuck you, Luthor. And then she disappears.
But what Luthor ends up doing is going to back to his... stronghold, you can call it.
His base.
Yeah.
His house.
And he's married to Lois Lane. And they have a son, Alexander. And they
Real original. Let's name him after me.
Well, it's supposed to be a junior, so.
Yeah.
And similar to what happened with Superman, he sends him off planet to another universe.
Well, yeah, he sends him to another dimension.
Another universe. He knew about the universes.
He knew about the multiverses because he's super smart.
Okay, we'll go with that. He sends Alexander there to survive, whereas the rest of the planet just they can't do anything. Like, they die. They touch the antimatter.
And they die.
And they die. They just, no, like this, they don't
this,
exist.
This part right here, Johnny Quick is just standing there.
Yeah, you think
like,
he'd run.
Fastest dude on the planet. And yeah. It's like, hey, guys, what's this? Oh, God, it hurts.
But when you're seeing this whole thing, like, destroy everything, reality just crashes in on you. You can't escape
just,
that.
Nope, I just still fucking been like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to go, you know. Apologize to some people. Sorry, I was a dick.
Nah,
but
good.
Then you've got Ultraman who literally just flies it. I've done nothing but fight everything to the very end. Yeah. And that's what I'm going to do. And then he flies in there.
It's very altruistic, but
at the same time, it
doesn't. I mean, they even make a comment like, here we are fighting. We're criminals on this world and we've taken all of these people.
Whatever
for,
we wanted, we did whatever we wanted.
And now we're trying to fight to save them, which is weird.
So I'm just going to shoot myself into the nothingness.
Yeah. I mean, basically.
Peace out, bitches!
Basically. But what ends up happening after the Earth gets destroyed, we follow the rocket from Earth
Alex,
3.
Luther's little escape pod.
Mm-hmm. It goes off of course. It goes off course for a second.
I don't think it does, though.
It was supposed to land in on the Earth itself, I think.
Oh, see, I thought it was actually supposed to land on the JLA...
Satellite,
because I thought that's what Luther had said, was that... I know where the other heroes live. They will care for our son.
Okay.
Like, he had sent it there, but he didn't know that they weren't using the...
Yeah, they stopped using that sometime before, which I did not know
I don't remember
when...
that either, because weren't they using that in the last issue of Flash?
They were using that in Flash and Swamp Thing.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, they were using a base. I don't know if it was this base.
They had to teleport to it.
They teleport to a base, yes.
See, that's why, and that I doesn't, that's why it was
that's
that.
Not to say that there wasn't another satellite base on the
oh,
other
okay,
side.
Fair
like,
enough.
I don't know when exactly they stopped using this base in particular, which Justice League book they did, because as I stated in the pre-crisis monster stuff, they were still using everything all that kind of happened at least a year leading up to this, so who knows.
Oh, damn, that didn't work out like I wanted it to. But then we go...
I will state, though, that we go to the Monitor's ship.
With Lila.
Yeah. Lila looks more presentable here. I don't know if you remember... Well, maybe not presentable, but more covered up. I don't know if you remember how she was in the Flash and Swamp Thing issues, where it was
the
V low cut all the way to the belly button. Yeah.
That she was got conservative.
Costume. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it got cold.
Well, they are in space. I was going to say deep space, but in space. And ultimately, what we got here is the Monitor and Lila. We don't see the Monitor yet, but he's telling her that, all right, it's time to go
collect my superheroes.
Get everybody. So she... How did you interpret this, her splitting herself apart?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
that's the way I thought, too. But there was... And we'll get to it here in a minute, but there was a particular thing where I'm like, did she actually do it that way?
That's what kind of, because later on it says, you know, she comes back to it.
Exactly. So we'll get to that.
Right here, this kind of threw me off, where like the Monitor's like, hey, I need you to energize, you know, this and that. And she's like, just remember, we are equals, and I will no longer tolerate being treated as your slave.
Yeah, I don't get
but
that
he's
either.
He's always been nice to her.
And they state later on that, you know, he found her as a baby and rescued her. And
raised her as his own.
It also does not... That doesn't make sense because the whole we're equals part and you should respect me. Every appearance that they showed in every book, she wasn't a servant, but she was helping him out while he was watching everything. So yeah. I don't... That threw me for a minute. I agree. It's just odd.
But anyways, right here, we go to the next page. She splits into like a bunch of different versions of herself.
Mm-hmm. And she's tasked to go grab a bunch of superpowered individuals.
Yeah.
Through all of time and space.
The first one she grabs is Solovar.
Yep.
Which,
from
if you
Gorilla
guys remember
City.
From Gorilla City, from the Flash comics, this would be the super smart gorilla people.
Yep, that helped
and
out Flash.
This is the leader of them.
I do like her. I mean, not gonna lie. Her suit. I kind of like her suit.
Yeah, it's pretty hot.
Yeah. Next we go to the far future,
which
where...
Dawnstar, I had to look this one up because I had no idea, but she's apparently part of the Legion of Superheroes.
Yes.
And you know the what
in the
30th century
yeah,
like
31st
that.
century.
Yeah. And I was curious because I had no idea who she was first off, but apparently she came from a Zadians. Or no, it says she was part of some Indians that are on a planet called Starhaven that were abducted by aliens from Earth, taken to this planet, and then they they mutated, and that's how she got her wings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
That was kind of like, because I had no idea who she was. I'm like,
well, so the Legion of Superheroes is one of those groups that
they come in and out of relevance. Yeah, I've heard of them in Smallville. They were mentioned when they do the time traveling thing, mm-hmm. and then they were in Supergirl.
Yep,
and that's the only time I've ever really.
Yeah.
Well, and then I've got the Legion expansion. For,
yes. I've got a couple good Legion books. They're more like modern. I think 2009 on. Awesome. Just I like Legion. We will get some Legion books on here at some point, but we'll see.
Pre-crisis or post-crisis?
Oh, this everything from now on is going to be post-crisis.
Yes.
So. Okay.
Then the next person she grabs is Firebrand.
From Earth 2.
Yeah, from Earth 2, Cersa 1942-ish, yep. Like World War II type thing,
mm-hmm.
which I had no idea who she was either.
Yeah.
Like, she had no relevance to me. The only thing I could find on her was that she was part of the Justice League of America. Justice Society of America in the 40s.
Yep. We then go over to Blue Beetle from
the
Earth.
The second Blue Beetle.
Yes, Ted Kord.
Who apparently has no powers other than like some scarab that he got from some dude at a pawn shop.
Dan Abbott? No, is that his name?
Abbott. No, this is Kord.
No, the first Blue Beetle.
Oh,
I can't remember his first
name. I don't
Dan
remember
something.
Either.
Yeah, he got it from him. And
this is actually the first Blue Beetle that was in DC Comics, though, according to what I read on Wikipedia.
Okay.
Because I had to look it up because I had no idea. Like, other than, like I said, other than, you know, DC Deck Builder, I have no idea. I have no relevance for these people, so I had to know what they were.
That's fair. Yeah, he's from, I think, not Earth-S, but Earth, a different Earth.
Okay.
But it was one of those, got folded into
comics,
DC Comics. We then go over to
Psycho Pirate. Who is somebody I'd also...
No, not know. Yet.
Wait, yeah. Isn't that the...
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
So, right after Beetle, we go to... Was it 45,000 years ago? Go to the...
Harbinger.
This Harbinger is looking for Arion?
Yeah. She gets attacked by some kind of shadow.
Yes, and merges with her. And the reason why I find that questioning is because she's searching for him then. We skip past that, go to Harbinger grabbing Psycho Pirate.
Yeah.
And then we go back to Harbinger going to get Arion, like, sometime later.
Yeah.
So that's why I was just like, okay.
Well, it still says 45,000 years ago.
Well, no. Like, she makes mention, Harbinger, after she gets Pirate, says, well, now we have to get one more stop. Make one last visit.
Oh,
we
have our last visit.
Yeah. So it was that's what confused me.
I can see why that's confusing.
Yeah.
But maybe that was their way of saying they only had one more person they were going to pick up.
I don't know.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. But
yeah, she goes.
I had no idea who Psycho Pirate was.
Oh yeah, because you hadn't seen the Flash or the crossover yet.
Yeah. No. But like, so I looked him up, and apparently this is the second Psycho Pirate that was there.
Yes.
And he has this thing called the Medusa Mask that was a bunch of masks that he made into one mask that he can portray his emotions out towards people.
Yeah, and that's really, I mean, it's
that's
pretty kind of terrifying if you think about it.
Especially since he's a psychopath.
Yeah, yes.
Like, no, she literally gets him out of the
I know. The psych ward. I know. Because he is having trouble with the mask.
Yeah, without the mask. Because the mask helps him control his own. Anyways.
Either way.
So then we go to Arion, who is Atlantis's greatest wizard, I guess. But this is when Atlantis was on land.
Yeah.
And it threw me off because I had to look him up. And apparently, he's a demigod. He was born of one of the actual gods of Atlantis and, you know, a human.
Sure. Sounds about right.
And,
I have no idea about Arion.
And later on, because like I seriously had no idea who he was. And apparently later on, he thinks that Superman is going to be the cause of the end of the world. Like, this is after like crisis times and whatever.
Okay.
So he
that
makes
had
it
to
his
been
life
before
goal.
90s.
I have no idea. I just know what it is from here. But apparently he made it his life goal to stop Superman from interfering with the world. And so like he almost becomes like a villain, I guess.
Well, you could also say like Constantine's a villain. In that aspect, because he kind of stops. I mean, he doesn't really help out with Swamp Thing at this time. More of a hindrance to him.
He's kind of helping him build his powers up too, though.
He's also annoying him too.
Well, yeah, but Constantine's annoying. I mean,
that, you're not wrong there. we then go to Firestorm and Killer Frost.
Killer Frost, lost it for a second.
This is where Psycho Pirate jumps in and changes. This is
the last stop that they had to do.
There we go.
That makes more sense.
He changes Frost to fall in love with Firestorm, which is great.
I thought it was humorous because this is the Firestorm. If you've ever watched the Flash TV show. This is the Ronnie
Raymond.
Thank you, and Professor Stein. Firestorm. Yeah, sorry. Firestar is a different one.
Yep. Yeah, it is.
Seriously.
Because it's in here, too.
Firestorm, and I thought it was ironic that they make Killer Frost fall in love with her because in the TV show, it's, you know, Caitlin Snow that turns into Killer Frost who is married, or no, engaged? Or
did they get married? Do they get married?
Before
they're engaged.
I don't remember, but like, yeah, they were engaged before he turned into Firestorm.
Because where they got married.
I don't remember.
Either way.
But anyways, and I thought that was funny as hell, and then, you know, Joey over here point out that this is not the same Killer Frost.
Correct.
And I'm like, oh, well.
Yeah, this is not Caitlin Snow. She doesn't show up until, I want to say, the 90s as Killer Frost, so I could be wrong. Could be early 2000s. I don't know. But so we have this basically correlation of power.
Well, and right here
in the monitors.
Before we get to that, the monitor's right here talking about how he knows that, like, he talks about how he raised Lila, which is the Harbinger.
Yep.
You know, found her, loved her like a daughter, and now he knows that she's going to kill him.
Yeah.
So he knows that, but she doesn't know that he knows.
Correct.
And then we get our coalition of superheroes here, which they also threw in some extra ones into the mix that they didn't show us recruiting.
Well, so
which would be the old Superman,
the Earth 2 Superman.
Yeah, that's supposed to be like the 1920s Superman, right? Like
the 1940s,
or whatever.
Yeah, he's part of the Justice Society, or he joins in with them every once in a while and helps them out.
But I mean, like, this is supposed to be like the cartoon Superman from, like, you know, when our grandparents were.
So. Yes and no.
I mean, that's the feeling that I get from him.
Okay.
He's got the same S on his suit.
Yeah.
They have him, Obsidian, who I had no idea who he was.
Yeah, he is Green Lantern, Alan Scott's son.
Yeah. And then they had the Black Green Lantern. I couldn't think of his name.
John Stewart.
There you go.
Yep.
John Stewart. Isn't that a...
Yeah.
Okay.
They have Dr. Polaris.
And Simon.
So if you remember during... I don't know if you were on that episode when I did that. I think you were. Simon got nabbed up by the monitor when he was fighting the Titans. He was in the river drowning, and the monitor plucked him out from drowning.
Yeah.
So we saw that.
If I didn't see it, I listened to the podcast. Yeah. So sometimes I have a hard time differentiating whether I was here or whether I just listened to it.
I'm pretty sure because I ran through like 20 episodes in like a 2-episode stint because we had to get to a certain story. So,
but then we also have Cyborg and
Geoforce and Cyborg is in there as well.
Which, like I said, it didn't show them actually picking up any of these people, so it was kind of weird.
And that's some of that was, I think, touched on. Well, not really, because I read all of the appearances prior. I guess my only other thought is a lot of them got picked up in the companion pieces.
Gotcha.
Which we're not going to cover because that's a lot.
Yeah.
But they were, this story started out, every other book was finishing up what they had to do to get to this point. Like, for example, Flash. Flash didn't end until, like, August of 85. Yeah. And this came out in April of 85. So, like, they knew what they wanted to do. They knew all the people had to be, but they had to get to that point.
Okay, so fair enough. So, yeah, they probably showed it in different ones. Gotcha.
While everybody is on the monster ship just talking, we've got a bunch of the shadow demons, the one that attacked Harbinger, attacking them.
Yeah, and they are very interestingly shaped.
I wanted to point that out. Notice that or not.
Yeah, like it was actually the one that really showed it to me. It was this one that was like half hiding behind the wall here. The first one that they show on the page.
Oh yeah, and it's like not his unibrow, but the
the shoulder pad and like the I guess the cape.
Yep.
But anyways, so they get attacked, and then this blinding flash of light just decimates all of them. They all run. All these shadow demons run away.
And then everybody's still blinded by the light.
wrapped up like a douche. Anyways.
I was hoping you'd catch up on that one.
Yeah.
And then we have the monitor introducing himself to everybody.
I am the monitor. Check out my weird hair.
I got, outside of the hair, I like that suit.
His costume's badass.
Like, that is amazing.
And that would be a fun costume to
Yes,
do.
It would. And they actually are pretty accurate on the show.
Are
like,
they?
It's pretty darn close. Even with the hair and everything.
Nice.
It's pretty awesome.
Now, is the hair weaved? Or because it looks like it could almost be like cornrows.
Yeah.
And that'd be kind of fucking cool.
I didn't check it well enough, so I can't
help you. Anyways.
But yeah, that's where we end this first issue with everybody finally, you know, coming together.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more Crisis on Infinite Earths.